We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So, this morning, my friends, I would like us to celebrate our day by even making more room to save. We hate everything that has been said. It's all about saving. It's all about making room to save, because as mothers, that's what we do best when we save. So if you are one of those that right now, today's title of the message is Make Room for Saving. Make room for saving. I know it's not easy. We have heard the challenges. We have heard the hesitations. We have heard the fears. We have heard everything that we've heard. Most of us, we really have busy lives, constantly on the go. However, we need to understand that whenever we save, we extend our sphere of influence by touching those around us, more lives with what we do. Saves impacts people in a more personal way, in a special way, because they not only get in contact with you, but they also get in contact with your service. They are touched. And we know we are in the season where we are being challenged to make room for God. Isaiah 54, verse 2 says, you are enlarging in this season. And when you are enlarging, you need to, your rope has to be lengthened. It has to be lengthened because you're going further. You are expanding. You are going beyond reaching your normal service in prayer, in your normal reach in service. You're going beyond your normal reach in service. That's what we know. So this morning, I would like to invite you to join me as we explore the story of a certain woman who made room for saving in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, from verse 8 to verse 17. We want to find out, how did this woman make room to save the Lord? So let's read together from 2 Kings, chapter 4. At the count of 1, 2, 3, let's all go. 1, 2, 3. One day, Elisha went to Shunem. A well-to-do woman was there who was urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make room on the roof and put it in a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day, when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her and stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant, and the year next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Father, we thank you for the reading of the word. May you say what you want to say, just to use my lips to communicate what you want to communicate. May you bring illumination, understanding, and Lord, may our eyes of understanding be enlightened this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this story is about a well-to-do woman who seemed to have it all together. She seemed to have, when the Bible says you are a notable woman, it's meaning a lot. She had a large house, a secure income, a loving and wealthy husband, and a happy marriage. But she lacked something that no man could give her. She had a deep desire within her. Moreover, what really surprises me is that we are not told the name of this woman. She's nameless. How can somebody who is notable, who is well-to-do, be nameless? Even her husband, the wealth man, is nameless. The only ones that are recorded about their names is Gehazi, is the prophet Elisha and his servant Gehazi. Yet, even though her family is nameless, the story reveals her heart that was willing to make room for service. His story serves as an example to us on how we can lengthen our tent cords in this season of making room for serving God and others. We can learn something from this lady. How did she make room to save? From what we have just read, in verse 8 and 9, we can have our last lesson, what made this woman be able to make room to save. She had a compassion and discernment. She had compassion and discernment. Verse 8 and 9 that we have just read. From that scripture, it looks like the woman, this Shunammite woman, lived on a well-traveled road between Carmel and Samaria. She lived near M1 or M25 or M6. There was constant traffic, and the rich, the poor, passed through them. She is described as a notable woman, which means she was distinguished. She was extraordinary. She was prominent. She was famous. She was extraordinary. She was remarkable. She was noteworthy, though nameless, suggesting that somehow she was an important lady. Despite his status, despite being noteworthy, she still availed herself to be used by God and her heart for serving others. She still had time. She was still sensitive to the felt needs of those around her. You know, sometimes when everything is going on with you, when you can't close your fridge because there's so much food in the fridge, you pack the bin man is angry every time he gets to your house because it's overflowing because of food that you're throwing, and yet you forget that down the road there's somebody sleeping without food. It happens when everything is going well. Not for this woman. She was not worthy. She was extraordinary. Yet she still had a heart that felt the needs of other people. So there's something about a compassionate heart that is exemplary to us all today. She may have been very busy, but somehow God still got attention from her. You know, sometimes when God has just given you a good job, I mean, the car that we saw there, you know, the car that Comfort is going to use. You know, when God gives you that car, I mean, God has to make the car stall in the middle of the road to just make you say a prayer. And say, Lord, I'm late for this job, you know, meeting. Just let it work. Because he's no longer getting attention from you. Waking up to pray is now no longer happening. Because what are you praying for? What do you pray for when everything seems to be working together? What are you going to pray for? But not for this woman. She was extraordinary. And yet, God still got her attention. We see from the story that the prophet Elisha visited Shunem regularly, where somehow they met and she convinced him to stop for a meal. Stop and have some food. The encounter must have been successful because prophet Elisha made a home his halfway house every time he was visiting Shunem. He turned this house into his halfway house. And he dined with this couple every time he visited. And I understand a lot about the halfway house. Because my mom, in my childhood experience, is full of stories where we had to hide food because my mom was calling everybody passing by the road to come and eat. We had to come to have some security guards among ourselves to appoint some of our siblings, security guards that would go and stand at the highest place in my mom's yard so you can see who is coming and hide the food and tell mom the food is finished. So I understand a bit about halfway house. When people come and just wait in your while they're going where they're going. But this woman invited. She was willing to make her house a halfway house. It did not take too many visits by Elisha before the woman began to discern that this man It's not like the others that I've seen and, you know, they've dined with us. This is a holy man of God. Friends, we need to take note of something. Why didn't she say, designate this prophet as a nice man? How come she didn't say a brilliant man? How come she didn't say such a very humorous man? How come she didn't say he is such an intelligent guy? How come she didn't say he's a good guest? You know, there are some guests that you pray, Lord. Okay. So she didn't, because what ministered to her was the godliness of this man's life. Not his status, not his title. It was the godliness in a time of moral depravity. This was the time in Israel where Baal worship was at its highest point. People were worshiping gods of Ekron and all sorts of things. And there were still some other people that could evidence the presence of God in their lives. It is interesting, though, that the Bible does not tell us how this woman discovered that he was a holy man of God. And I tried to, you know, just to guess what could have been, and I came up with a number of things. I think it was his manner of dress. I mean, he was a prophet, maybe dressed in a completely different way like other people. Maybe it was in the manner of his speech that was distinguished. Maybe it was manner of his behavior. Maybe it was his spiritual disciplines, which were distinct. Or maybe, could it be it was his conversations that were seasoned with salt? He seemed to say the right things all the time at the right time. Maybe it was his moral conduct, very respectful and very grateful. I don't know, whatever it was that touched that woman, it is something all of us should consider serious today. There was indeed something about Prophet Elisha that she certainly could see in him, that God was with him, and that ministered to this woman. You know, it made her take the next step to make a room and lengthen a house to accommodate this prophet. Let me ask you a question, church. What does the world say about us as we interact with them? What do they say about you at work? Can they tell? Can the world tell? Can your workmates tell? Can your neighbors, the hosts, the hotel staff, the restaurant waiters, can they tell? Can they perceive that we are children of God? This afternoon, when you park your car, would your neighbors perceive that you've been in the house of the Lord? Something for us to ponder. Because whatever it was that shone through Prophet Elisha should serve as a model for us to imitate in our daily walk with Jesus. We have to evidence that we carry the presence of the King of Kings. We have to evidence that we are children of God, like Elisha did, and that ministered to this lady. Second lesson we can learn from her: what made her make room to save? She was decisive and generous. Verse 10 we have read. She was decisive. This woman suggested to her husband that they build the prophet a separate room in her house. I mean, when you are a guest and your host is telling you to stay more, I mean, you got to go to the bathroom and say, thank you, Lord, I'm behaving myself. When you are a guest and your host are telling you, I really need to go, just to find out why. So this lady was willing to actually let this man live with them. Not only alone, with his servant. She ate her husband to add a room for Elisha. She did not only feed the prophet, but when he visits, said, okay, fine. He comes once in a month. That's fine. We'll just feed him when he comes and that's it. No, she wanted to build a separate room for him so that this prophet will make a house his address, where he could be found. You know what? It would take money to renovate. I mean, you have all done some renovations. It doesn't matter how big, but you know what it means to renovate, how much it costs to renovate, and how much it takes to have two extra adults in your house every day feeding them. It costs money. And yet she was willing to take the extra mile for the prophet and his servant. She made room for serving them using her resources providing for the prophet in many ways. She provided regularly for them. This was not just a kind of, you know, impulse or brief mood of kindness which suddenly came upon her and suddenly disappeared. No, it wasn't. This was a commitment. When you make an extension for somebody and say, this is your room, that's a commitment. You are telling them, this is your address. You can divert your letters anyway to come here. And you have got the right to open my fridge and close it with your leg because you live here. That's a commitment that you are doing that. And she did that. She opened her home. You know, she opened a home for them. She was willing to save them. She made her home their ministry base. So when people wanted counseling with the prophet, they'll go to her house. And remember, Elijah is not just a small prophet. He was the prophet of the time. Can we share such commitment? Are we willing to share such commitment on saving God on a long-term basis? You know, where you are in present worship as long as you breathe and they can count on you. Can we be counted on by those that we save? She also provided for them spiritually. You know, she was not only, when you look at the things that she asked to have in this room, a bed, a chair, a table, a lampstand, they meant something. It really was a good place for the prophet to have his prayer time, his meditation, and it was fit for the prophet, and not only for him alone and his servant, but also for his God. Because it is in this room where a miracle happened. It was in this room. So her decisiveness was such that she anticipated needs before they were even asked for. She was ahead of time. She did not wait for the prophet to say, maybe if you don't mind, I might, you know, stay here every time I'm here. No. She offered. That means it shows that she was willing to make room for God. She was willing to make room for God. We had one of the ladies saying, you know what? Food can do it. I'm going to create space in my own garage because I need the car. Commitment. What kind of decisions are we making as we make room to save our generation? What have we decided to do? What personal items are we willing to offer in this season as we make room for saving God? Saving will always cost you something. That's what it is. It's a sacrifice. As devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we have no option but to save and to be servants, because the one we say we follow is a servant and was a servant. He said, I came to save and not to be saved. So let's make room for saving God using whatever we have, whatever he has blessed us with. That leads us to number three. Lesson number three, she was condemned. This lady was condemned. Verse 11 to 13 that we have read, Elisha noticed his host's excellent service in all his visits and really wanted to do something, you know, to show favor in return. He was satisfied. He was grateful. So he really wanted to do something to reciprocate the gesture of her kindness and her generosity to them. So she called the Shunammite woman, inquired respectfully if there was anything that could be done for her. Even bringing her name up for a special honor by the queen. I mean, you jump on it, won't you? So Elisha offered her a blank check. What can be done for you? It was a blank check. However, this godly woman turned down the prophet's offer. I mean, let me remind you who Elisha was. Elisha, a few days ago, he had just started a business for the most expensive commodity in those days, oil. One lady was now a businesswoman, known in the whole town, paid all her debts, living in luxury. And this is the guy who's asking you, what can I do for you? And this woman is turning down that offer. In other words, you know how she answered? She said, I dwell among people. In other words, thanks. I have everything I need. Just because I gave you my house does not mean I need anything from you. I have everything I need. That's what contentment would say. What a response. While others are chasing the blessing of the prophet, the woman is turning down his offer. Why? Because she was content. She was secure within her community. Suggesting that she had no need for favors from the queen or from the government official. She didn't need her name to be mentioned to Boris Johnson. She didn't want Prince Charles to know who she is. She was content. The word of God teaches us that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out of it. And having food and clothing, let us be there with content. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 8. This was true of this Shunammite woman. She didn't have hidden motives when she made room for the prophet. She was not after building connections for personal gain. She didn't want to boast about her ministry to other people. She didn't even want any special favors from the prophet. No special treatment. She was content to be of service to the prophet without expecting anything from him. She just wanted to serve and help in sustaining the proclamation of the word of God by the prophet in her region. That's all she wanted. Is this how we minister today? I mean, I was thinking about it and I was saying, if it was me, I mean, the prophet, I know he healed the water that was bad, and up to this day, it's healed. He healed the land that was barren, and up to today, it's fruitful. He started a business for another lady just like me, and she's running very well. She's good. Even if I was notable, I still have a need. I would have said, okay, I think in my lifetime, I'm fine, but you know, I've got my grandchildren to come. And I've got my great-grandchildren. Could you just prophesy that their destiny will be clear, they will be blessed, they will have abundance? Just speak it, prophet. Because I knew, I will know that whatever he said, it will happen. But not for this woman. Not for this woman. Is that how we save? Are we tempted to show off? Are we tempted to try to get something out of it for a personal gain when we do what we do? Do we serve God unconditionally? My friends, faithfulness requires us to make room for serving without expecting a reward from God, without expecting an immediate response from the Lord. This means we'll be willing to make room for serving out of our devotion for Jesus, our love for Jesus. It means serving him wherever we are, with a heart that is content with what you have. May the Lord help us to be content like this woman, despite having an unfulfilled desire in her life. She had an unfulfilled desire, just like you and me. We look so good. We look like we have it all together. We might have one breakthrough yesterday, but there is a need again today. That's how God make it done. In other words, if he doesn't do that, I love God for that, because we will forget him. If he gets everything to be 100%, oh, we'll forget who he is. That leads us to our last lesson. She had a deep desire in her heart. She had a deep desire in her heart. From verse 14 to 17, we have seen that this woman, she turned down the offer from the prophet, despite telling the prophet that she was content with what she heard. The Shunammite woman had a deep desire in her heart that only God could satisfy. Therefore, Elisha is a prophet. And Elisha has dealt many times with God. So he knows that you might look notable and extraordinary, but you must be having a need, woman. I know it, how my God operates. So he pressed hard and say, okay, I hear what she's saying. She lives among her people. She doesn't need anything. But what can be done for her? Surely there has to be something that can be done for her. And it turns out that there was something that constantly bothered her beneath the surface. Regardless of how helpful she was, there was something hurting her badly. She yearned for a child. She could not have one for some reason. The Bible doesn't tell us why she was childless. Her beautiful home lacked the sunshine of a child's presence and the sound of a sound, the song of a child's voice. And she longed for that. She was happy helping others and going the extra mile to make room for God's causes, but in the deep wells of her heart, she had a need. I don't know about you. I might look very, it's Mother's Day, I have to look presentable, you know? But I have a need. Deep down in my heart, I have a need. Only God can satisfy. And this woman had a need. Let me remind you, mothers, that during those times, the culture of that time was such that to be childless, it was a shame. Yet this woman carried on with a smile, did her best to make room for serving. I would like to believe personally that there were countless nights that and days that she sat crying over her condition. I would like to believe that there was moments where she could just sob her heart out, but nothing changed. I would like to believe that she had received many prayers. Every altar call about fruitfulness and whatever should be in the front, but nothing changed. She called out to the Lord many times, but nothing happened. There was no answer to her prayers. By this time, she had concluded that, Lord, you'd never hear my prayer and you never answer me. So this petition, I pack it. And this childless condition is my portion for life. Let's deal with it. Done deal. I will not pray about children. I will not ask you about children. It's concluded. It's not my portion. You can pick that from her despair over the condition. Her despair over the hair condition was almost unbearable, and it was revealed in her response to the prophet's promise of her son. She said, No, my Lord. No. I mean, all along, you've been doing very well. This area where you are going now, do not lie to your maidservant. Okay? I gave you a room. I didn't ask you for anything. This area you are trying to try to open up, I have sealed this. I have dealt with God and finished with this case. What she only forget is God is in the business of dealing with the issues that you have forgotten about. He's in the business of dealing with cases you have given up on. That's when he picks it up, because all your efforts have amounted to nothing. So those that you have given up on, when you give up on your life, that's when God said, yes, you are the right material to build on. You have nothing to boast about. When I pick you from this place, you are not going to talk about it. You know what to say. Because he picked you from nothing. So she says, no, my Lord. Man of God, I respect you. And with all due respect, don't lie to the woman, to me, to your servant. She had no doubt given up on the idea that she would ever be a mom. She had accepted her role as a childless, devoted childless wife and a devoted follower of Jehovah, intentionally making room to save. That was her place. I don't know what is your deep desire. I don't know what is it that you have packed, what you sealed, and you say, this container, this part, this compartment of my heart should never be opened, because God is not going to deal with it. God is not going to answer it. God is not going to give me what I'm asking for. I don't know what it is, but I've come to tell you that condition was about to change. Even for the Shunammite woman, the condition was about to change. Because verse 17 tells us that the woman conceived and bore a son. Remember Jesus' words, he who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Matthew 20 verse 28. Who are you receiving in your home? What are you making room for in this season? What are you making room? This woman did not, if you read that chapter, you realize that this woman made room without making any deals with the prophet. That, okay, prophet, I make a room for you, and you know I'm childless, and you give me a son. You give me a child, and then I make room for you. No, there wasn't. She made room with no promises. She did not have a transactional plan with the prophet. She made room. And it was in that room that when she had a son who got ill and died, she placed the child in the room and he was revived by the prophet. Why? Because not only did she make room for the prophet, she made room for God. Elisha carried the presence of God. Who are you making room for? What are you making room for? What are they bringing into your house? What are they bringing into your heart? What are you opening yourself up to? Because whatever you're opening up to, you receive that from them. We need to know and to understand that God rewards genuine service. He is in the business of rewarding genuine service. This woman served with no hidden agendas. This woman had no hidden motives. This woman was serving unconditionally, and God rewarded her. So whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for human masters, even if the one who have given you the task. Since you know that you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Colossians 3, verse 23, 24. That is saving with no hidden motives. That is saving with no hidden agendas. She put God first in her life, and God never forget her. I mean, there may be many, many other people that were notable, I would think, just like in your neighborhood. You're not only the rich guy. There are other rich guys in your neighborhood. You think you park the best car, your neighbor will come and get a best one. So there were other people. And yet, she put her God first. He noticed her service and honored her contentment by giving her the deep desire of her heart. She was saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I've got a home that I can give somebody room to live. Thank you that I've got a loving husband who loves me and appreciates me despite my barrenness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I've got food in my fridge that I can give somebody. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I've got clothes to put on and I've got a chair that I can spend and give somebody. She was content, and God honored that contentment. What are you saying to God with what he has given you? Lord, I'll make room for you if you do this and do that. That's a transactional relationship. And God does not honor transactional relationship. When he say, make room for me, he's saying, make room and leave it empty for me to fill. Make room. Don't give me ideas of how I should feel it. Don't give me ideas of when I should feel it. Don't give me an ultimatum of when I should do it. Just make room for me. She didn't ask the prophet. She didn't relate to him that she was childless. She didn't relate to him that I have a deep desire, but only God can sort it out. Just forget it about it. She didn't. And yet God transformed her lonely, barren life into a loving mother because she made a small room for the prophet. We all have a small room in our lives. We all have a small space that we can make, that we can spare for serving. What a lesson for us today. I want us to take a moment to just reflect on your life. You know, the issue here is this personal woman did not allow her personal needs to overshadow what God wanted to do. She did not allow her personal needs to be more important than her willingness to save room, to save God. So the question that I want us to take a moment to reflect is, are my personal needs more important than my willingness to make room for serving and bless the name of the Lord despite? Let's take a moment. Go before the Lord. Maybe this is your moment of saying thank you to the Lord. Maybe this is your moment to say, I confess I've been grumbling and murmuring and looking at what you have not done, but not looking at what you have already done. Maybe it is your moment to come to a place of repentance and say, Lord, I'm even grumbling and yet I drive a car and somebody else is walking. I'm even complaining that I have one child and yet somebody doesn't even have a child. Lord, I'm complaining that I have a small house, but somebody's homeless. Maybe it is your moment to reflect and count your blessings and say, Lord, somebody is fighting for their life in a hospital bed, but I'm sitting here, I'm complaining about a headache. I'm crying and saying, Lord, unless you shift, I'm not doing anything. Take a moment and get things right with your God. Take a moment and thank God. Today we are thanking our mothers for giving birth to us. We are thanking our mothers for standing with us when we most needed them. We are thanking our mothers for giving us the life we have. We are thanking them. Let's also thank the Lord. Let's take the moment to thank the Lord. We need to remember that God owes men nothing. He's a rewarder of those that seek Him diligently. He's a rewarder of those that, if we remain faithful, serving Him with hearts that are full of content, with hearts that are full of gratitude, with hearts that are full of thanksgiving, He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. We all have a need. We all have a deep need that only God can satisfy. We have a need that even the prophet might not know. Even if they live in our homes, they might not know. But God knows the deep desires of our hearts. Let's bring that before the Lord. Bring it before the Lord. Make a commitment that, Lord, I'll make room for you despite my deep desire. I'll make room for you despite my unfulfilled needs. I'll make room for you despite my unfulfilled desires. I'll make room for you. I'll go and cry on the corner during the night, but Lord, I'll still make room for you with a smile in the morning. Lord, I'll make room for you. Tell him your commitment. He deserves every part of us, everything that we are, everything that we have. He deserves it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, we know that making room for serving does not just happen. We know it does not just happen, but it comes as a result of our active preparation. This morning, we prepare our hearts to make room for you. We prepare our hearts to open up the small room, the small space we have to make room for you. We come to you with hearts that are full of gratitude. We come to you with hearts that are full of repentance. We come to you asking for forgiveness for the number of times that we have murmured, we have been thinking and envying for more, and yet you have blessed us with a lot. Father, we repent. We put you first. We choose to save you with hearts that are full of joy, that are full of contentment. So, Father, we pray that for among us, some of us, we need just to be decisive. For some of us, Lord, we just need to be generous. For some of us, we just need a heart that is compassionate, that can open us to see the felt needs around us. Some of us, we have closed our eyes to anyone who is not me and I and myself. Some of us, we just think that whatever you have given us is for me, myself, and my family. Oh, God, we come to you this morning and we repent. We repent. Even being a mother, we do not make ourselves mothers. You made us mothers. You created us to be mothers. You give us that responsibility to be mothers. And we are grateful to you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. May there be a heart in us. May there be a place in our hearts to still be compassion despite our status, despite our achievements, despite our titles. May there still be a space in our hearts, oh God, to just be generous. Even though we don't know what it means to be in need, we are so much fulfilled. We are so blessed that we don't know what it means to be in need. Lord, may we still have the sensitivity to the needs of those around us. May our hearts still be open to see the needs in our community, to see the needs in our neighborhood, to see the needs in our families. Father, may our hearts still be open to say thank you for what you have given us, we will share with those who are in need. Help us, Lord Jesus, to understand that despite our deep desires, you will never forget us. You will never give up on us. May we know that you are God who knows no impossibility. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the miraculous. You are the God of the phenomenal. You are the God of the sensational. You are the God of the incredible. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing you cannot do. There is nothing you cannot solve. There is no question you cannot answer. There is no problem you cannot solve. You are the God of many kind. Is there anything too hard for you? There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And today we leave this place declaring that our God is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. And we'll save you with our hearts. We leave this place proclaiming that we will save you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, with all that we are, with all that we have, with all our possessions, with all our homes, with all our lives. We make room to save you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.